Opening scripture, you read it already almost in your words. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. I'll read it in the King James, and then we also have the Amplified, because sometimes the Amplified just kind of brings out a lot of the extra meat with the word. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. And there's a lot of admonishments in chapter 10 about the importance of drawing near to God, holding fast the profession of our faith, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the times that we're living in. This chapter seems like it was written so long ago, but yet it's so relevant to today. That's what's wonderful about God's Word, is it's relevant for every day. And it says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Amplified says it like this: "Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised." And that's really powerful, because to throw away, it's almost like if we don't get something in 30 seconds, and Marcy, as your book gets going along and you start seeing different ways to promote, we have found with book trailers there's a sweet spot. 30 seconds is the max out. If you don't have everything on your web page that somebody can grab in 30 seconds, they're going to click and bang, they're off somewhere else. Well, we got to really guard our hearts about bringing that to the Bible. If we don't have it within 30 seconds, then we move on to something else. And God has made promises in His Word, and no one can undo them but you, for you. I'll say that again. God has made promises in His Word that no one can undo them for you except you. Being patient. That means, you remember when we studied fail-proof living and how that really means endurance. It means being in it for the long haul, not a quick fix. And little Tinkerbell comes and sprinkles little angel dust and poof, you got it right there, you know. Or if you don't get it, oh, I guess that didn't work. And I had a couple examples I was thinking about how quickly some who have not learned yet, and we have to leave it at that, because number one, the confidence has to be in God who spoke His promises. Because if you know who the author of this book really is, if He said something, it's absolutely the truth. And so, I just wrote a few examples down right off that I personally have encountered with people who are very quick to just chuck it if they don't get everything that they asked for. And they get mad at God. Ultimately, they just kind of blow Him off and go back to doing their own thing. Here's an example. I tried tithing once. It didn't work for me. What we have to understand is it's a lifestyle. A lifestyle of giving, of ourselves, of our lives, of our resources, of whatever God has blessed us with. And really, the truth of the matter is, it's all His, and He's entrusted things to us. For this time that we're here, we have to see ourselves as pilgrims passing through the land, But Earth is not the place that we're destined for. And we've got to start thinking about the treasures that are laid up for us in heavenly places too. Yes, there's things for the here and now. But if that's all of our focus, it's going to take more than 30 seconds of standing. If you're not willing, and we're talking about walking with God, and we started this new teaching last week, patience is huge. It really, really is. And here's another one. I heard Rick teaching about, we have to love our neighbor, love our neighbor. So I lent my neighbor my car one day, and he stole it and went out and crashed it. That didn't work too good, did it? You know, and people can get a bad attitude just because they try something once and think that that's it. I'm out of here. I came to church today and I didn't like the way so-and-so parted the hair. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. Some of us have a wider part than others, but at least it's there, you know, so. Oh, and I heard in that teaching about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I love my husband so much, and for a whole week, but he wouldn't change. So I sent him back for reprogramming. Or I love my wife so much for a whole week, and that didn't pan out too good. She didn't change, so I sent her back too for a new model. You know, people are so quick to write each other off and so quick to write God off. You have to be in this. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life in your testimonies this morning. How, because you see, you've heard this kind of word here for a long time about being tough, about enduring, learning to stand. And what else can you do? What else can any of us do? If you want the victory, you have to stand. And you can't be wavering. What did James say about wavering? Let that man not think he'll receive anything of the Lord. If you can't make up your mind, how does God know what to bless you with? You might change your mind while it's on the way. And then what's going to happen? So this is really important. And don't be quick to fling it away. You know, we Word of Faith people are known for the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Yep, I named it and claimed it, I got it, and I blabbed it and grabbed it, and I got it. It works. Faith works, but it works by love. And no matter how long we have to stand, if your heart is right with God and you continue to do what He wants you to do, see, that's the key. That's another thing. We're not willing to do what God wants us to do. We make a demand of Him like He's our servant, and He's going to run out with His little cookie tray. You don't like chocolate chip cookies? Bummer, dude. Get the gingerbread. No, like, if we don't get what we think that we need or what we think that we want, we throw it away. We just, okay, do something else. And we can't do that. You know, there's great recompense. And you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. You see, you won't miss those sleepless nights. You won't miss that evil spirit that kept tormenting you. You won't miss him. He wasn't your friend in the beginning. He's not your friend now, and he never will be your friend. And you won't miss him. He's kind of one of those guys you can write out of your life and be really happy about. I thought we were talking in the right place today. We all showed up in the right place today. Because there's such a promise and a reward in it for being faithful. And that may come in the next segment of our teaching today. If we get to it, we get to it. If we don't, we don't. There's been a lot of truth spoken in this room already today. And I always come knowing I don't always have all of the word. You do. That's why I'm very open to this type of a service. This really is a 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26 church. Howbeit, brethren, when you all come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a teaching, a word. And I know it could take until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning if every one of you get up and spoke what was in your hearts. But That's the freedom that we have in Christ. That is truly a New Testament church, and this is how it's supposed to function. I come, I have part of the word, but you have a part, you have a part, you have a part, you have a song, you have something to bring, to offer, and that's really how the New Testament church should function. And I am so proud of you. I really, really am. I really mean that. Because it's taken a long time. You have no idea how long 28 years has been that some of us have been here to see these things really start being fruitful, because we never gave up on the seed. We had confidence in the seed of the word, that this word is going to take root. And my prayer for you is that you will always have a heart that will receive the seed. And you can go home and tell everybody, I'm going to tell you all again, you're all pregnant. Okay? You're pregnant with the seed. You're pregnant with the word of God. Now go out and give birth to it. Because eventually, that's ultimately why the word was given, that it would take root, that it would reproduce after itself within our lives, and it begins to change us. We can change how quickly we think about something. And when we renew our minds to the word starts working, because once we change how we think, changing our thinking changes how we live. And this whole principle about being patient and not being quick to throw these treasures away is a marvelous, wonderful thing that happens. And so many times, we just give up a little bit too soon. And your miracle could be that close away. Your breakthrough could be that close. Never give up. You know, that was one of Winston Churchill's greatest sermons that he ever spoke. He'd get up in the middle of the war, and everybody was waiting for this great big long political speech, and he'd get up, never give up. And he went and sat down, and everybody thought, we came here to hear a big thing. And he came back to the podium and he said, I said, never give up. He went back and he sat down. And a few people began to get what he was saying. It was the middle of the war. London was being bombed absolutely to nothing. And a third time he came back to the podium and he said, I said, never give up. And the place came apart at the seams because they finally got it. We don't have to preach a big long sermon to get it. Today, just never give up. I borrow his words because that means everything. Never give up. If you've released your faith in the promise of God, all the devils in hell can't keep you from keep getting it, but you can keep you from it. Our attitude, the way we think about it, don't let that happen, because what God has given you is so precious. Don't let anyone steal it, and don't even let yourself rob yourself of the blessing and the rewards for being faithful and standing in your faith.